The following is the President's speech at Nobleville, Indiana, Friday, October 15th, 1948.
Gentlemen, it is indeed a great pleasure and a great honor to welcome you here at this great occasion. We have with us today some very distinguished guests. The first on the program I wish to present, our candidate for Congress from the 6th Congressional District, Mr. Jack O'Grady. Our next guest on this program needs no introduction. He has served the great state of Indiana for 4 years as governor. He will introduce the President of the United States. And our candidate for governor at this time, Mr. Henry Stricker.
Mr. Chairman, my very good friends, Noblesville and Hamilton County, I have the honor and pleasure of making a dual introduction on this occasion. First of all, I want to introduce to the President of the United States one of the finest group of Hoosiers in the whole state of Indiana. We're happy indeed to have so many of you here. And now it's my honor and pleasure to present to you the President of the United States and the next President, Mr. Harry S. Truman.
Thanks, Governor, for that prophecy. I think you're right from the looks of things in Indiana. I think you're going to be the next governor, and I think I'm going to be the next president of the United States. That young man runs on my yacht. I'm awful glad to see him. I've been going up and down this country, ladies and gentlemen, discussing the issues in this campaign, telling the people just exactly what we're faced with. I know here you're in the midst of one of the greatest farming countries in the world. Indiana, Illinois, Missouri, and Iowa constitute the farm belt of the United States, the breadbasket of the nation. And I think that the farmers in this neighborhood ought to be highly interested in the situation with which they are faced. The Democratic Party, the Democratic administration, inaugurated a farm program way back in 1934 and 35 when the farmers were completely broke. At that time, in 32, the net income of the farmers in this country was $2.6 billion. Now, this program, which the Democrats inaugurated for the farmer, has been a working program because the farmer's income in 1947 was $18 billion. That's his net income. His gross income was $30 billion, but his net income was $18 billion. Now then, after we elected this Republican 80th Congress in 1946 because two-thirds of you stayed at home and didn't do your duty on election day, the Republicans in that Congress, the leadership, began to tear down the farm program. One of the first things they did when they rechartered the Commodity Credit Corporation was to take away from the Commodity Credit Corporation the right to furnish storage to farmers for the support-priced grain which stays on the farm. And now, because the Commodity Credit Corporation cannot furnish that storage, which the Republicans did by joker in the charter of the Commodity Credit Corporation, farmers are receiving prices below the support price right now for corn on the farm and for wheat on the farm. And that situation is going to get worse because we have the greatest corn crop in the history of the world in this country this year. And our program, the Democratic program, is to store the corn and the wheat in surplus years and hold it so that the market can be held stable so the farmer will get his fair share of the income of the country. And that's the reason the farmers are prosperous. Now, these Republicans tell the farmers that high wages in the town causes the situation in high prices and causes inflation. They tell the workers in the town that the farmer's getting too much for his produce, his wheat and his corn and his other produce, his cattle and his hogs. And that's the reason that we're on the road to inflation. Neither one of those things are true. They balance each other. When the workers get good wages and when the farmers get good prices, the country's prosperous and the wealth of the country is distributed the way it ought to be. The farmer gets his fair share. The working man gets his fair share and the small businessman gets his fair share. That's democratic principles. That's government for all the people. All these people are trying, these Republicans are trying to tear down that principle. They are for special privilege. Well, the first thing they did when they got in there was to pass a rich man's tax bill. I vetoed it 3 times, but they finally passed it over my final veto, and that is conclusively a rich man's tax bill. A man gets $60 a week, saved about $1.50 or $1.60 a week under that tax bill, and the prices have gone out of sight, so he's lost that $1.60 a week for this time. But a man who got $100,000 a year saved $16,000 on that tax bill. That bill was made for special privilege. That's been the legislative program of this 80th Congress, and that's the reason I call it the worst Congress except one that this country's ever seen. Now then, you're faced with a situation. You're the government when you want to be. You can control the government because when you cast your vote, that decides what sort of a government you'll have. In 1946, just 1/3 of the people of this country voted. 2/3 of them stayed at home. And you got the 80th Congress. You got just what you deserved. You didn't do your duty. Don't do that again. Turn out on the 2nd of November and send John O'Grady to the Congress and reelect Mr. Stricker, governor of this great state of Indiana. And if you do that, I'll stay in the White House for another 4 years and won't be troubled with the housing shortage on the 20th of January. How'd you like to meet my family? All right, here comes Ms. Truman.
Here's my daughter, Margaret.